Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Ooh, hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings. Great to hear you. Great to see everybody in the chat and listening on the phone lines, everybody getting in there. And Tamara, hello. And who else? We're live. Refresh to listen. Yeah, refresh to listen. So welcome everyone from the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. They really ground the energy there and a lot of great insight and information and a lot of great questions too. Pondering minds want to know. And those of you listening by computer and phone, want to welcome you also. And of course, those of you listening via iTunes, BTR Archives, FM Player, and the other podcast stations. Welcome to today's program. Always great to be here with everybody on this wonderful Wednesday. I like to also call Wisdom Wednesday. Get your tea, get your coffee, get your juice, and come join us. Get comfy and cozy. We're going to have a really great program today. And as always, I'm going to be diving into a couple questions, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the Venus retrograde, what it has to do with relationship and radical honesty and the shifting change in relationships that is occurring as we're all co-creating this new paradigm. And I really want to talk to you all about that a bit. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I've been doing Twitter Live. I think I'm going to do actually, I'm going to be answering some questions today at 6 p.m. just for a quick one. But my Facebook Live, I really dive in. I talked a couple weeks ago about empaths, light workers, narcissists, and energy vampires. And I'm coming from a psychological and a metaphysical point of view, but the point of view of healing and love, really. And then Monday, we talked about Venus retrograde, the new emerging consciousness, what this means for your money situation, your relationship, and the face of relationships, how it's changing. So thank you, Shannon, I think it's Guyart, for letting us know we are in the top 10 in spirituality on iTunes. And continue to remain in the top or voted best New Age and spirituality podcast from FM Player. And wonder why that is. Because of all of you, because of the great community that we have here. So please, if you do listen to Awakenings, do give us some of your wonderful appreciation feedback on iTunes. This is how Shannon found us. And I'll give a shout out to those listening all the way from Croatia, New Zealand, Spain, and some new listeners in Canada as well. And just wanted to say hi. Okay, a couple of just quick email questions. And we had somebody call in, Carol, who's a longtime listener. She says, starting a new job, lost some friends along the journey, but such is life. A little bit more stable. Once insight about meeting life partner. For those kinds of questions, it's really, I know it's hard with work. Can't you run to the loo and then let me know? Really best for me to for you to call in. I will say a lot of times inner changes are what creates the outer changes. So if you're having inner changes and then that results in a job change, and then as I'm talking, I can get more connected to her energy now as I'm talking to all of you and talking to her. I would say 5-6 months, I feel like there's some change in relationship, but I feel you're still healing from a current or more recent relationship. And it'll be around a trip, travel with around the beach area for some reason, I feel. Oh, having my decaf Americano. But anyway, try to call in, Carol, or give me a little more information, maybe your birthday. But I'm getting, as I'm talking to you and I'm connecting into your energy, because I think you're on Facebook as well, so I can see your face. I feel like there's changes in 5-6 months. I feel after the summer, there could be some little flirty June, July, but I feel like your real relationship cycle is coming in August, September, October. What's 5 or 6 months? That's what I'm getting psychically, intuitively. So where are we at now? March, April, May, June, July, August, September. There we go. Okay. I have to count on my hands sometimes because you know what? When you're tuning in psychically, when you're channeling, it is very high right brain. There's a little left brain that comes in when you see pictures or you know, but the sensory, the information is a bit more diffused. Okay. Then we got a listener in the East Coast. Hi, Michelle. I've been listening to your podcast. It's been such a big help and guidance. I'm in a fuzzy, dark part of my life. This is for Jennifer. And I'm going to say Jennifer M. Jen Morrell. Took a year. Let's see. Love the people. Took a sabbatical. Oh, it's a dream. Also, I have a lot of dreams. Now, when you get dreams, oh, Divine Mystic, thank you. Love your Venus Retrograde Facebook Live, Michelle. Thank you so much. And coming from a really good astrologer, that's Divine Mystic in the chat. Thank you so much. So here's Jennifer's dream, and thank you for sending your LinkedIn profile. She's saying that last night I had one with my boyfriend slipping, that he had called his ex, and it ended with him telling me that he wasn't very happy with me. Devastated and trying to understand how that happened to me again. He did it all in front of his dad. So in the dream, his dad knew everything and saw me break down to my boyfriend, smacking him and calling him a coward. Anything you can tune in would be helpful. Okay. First of all, when we're doing dream interpretation, you want to look at what's the major theme or overriding theme in the dream? What are the emotions that are there? Or feelings, and because that's telling you that something's going on. Now, when you say again, something's telling me that there's some fear. Maybe you're getting closer to your boyfriend, and there's some fear that this could happen again. And also that your dad, so I'm wondering if your dad, his dad, but it could also, so the dream represents parts of yourself as well as the person that's in the dream with you, if it's an actual person that you know. If it's a stranger or someone that you don't know, or let's say a celebrity or sports person or somebody that you see on the street, those are usually telling you or showing you qualities that you need to integrate, you know, or bring into conscious awareness. It could be shadow material that is up. But I would say you need to kind of check it out with this, your boyfriend, to see where you guys are in relationship, what's going on. Just have a little check-in, but see with yourself, are you picking up cues that this could be happening again, or is it your fear that this could be happening again? And coward, so being truthful, are you getting your needs met in this situation? Do you need to focus more on you? And the slipping, that's what tells me emotionally, are you getting to a level? Because sometimes we get closer in relationship and stuff comes out, right? Stuff comes up because it's scary. You know, we know intuitively, wow, I'm really now starting to bond with this person. And our body, we don't just have mental memory. We have what we call kinesthetic memory. So it's memory that's held within the body, and it's in the cells, the cellular structure. You know, cells are like little mini computers. So everything that's ever happened to us is in the soft drive, you know, the software, rather, of the structure of the cell. So this is why things like emotional healing, repatterning, hypnotherapy, things like that are really great. Resonance repatterning, where you're changing the beliefs and ideas around what has happened, reframing it, you know, desensitizing, bringing back to that neutral point, and encoding the cells with new information, you know, kind of lessening the emotional charge. But I would say you probably are getting closer. And let me know. Email us back if you can. Call in if you can. But email us back or email me back and let me know. Do you feel you're getting closer to this person? are you and your boyfriend getting closer? And now the fears are coming up. So I love doing dream interpretation. So anytime you guys have dreams, let me know and I'll do what I can to answer. All right. Let us move on. And I will be taking questions from callers. And that number is 347-539-5122. I'm going to put it back in the chat. 347-539-5122. And press 1 on your keypad to let me know that you have a question or a comment, or you want a reading, or you want a dream interpretation, or maybe talk some meditation or mindfulness. I do see a lot of callers in the queue, and I will get to you. We'll definitely dive in. Divine Mystic is putting in the chat, major theme, emotions, feelings, dreams, good to know. Yes, okay, so we do have Venus retrograde. And I'm not just going to touch on this astrologically, I'm just going to do a wider arc. Is that, and actually this Venus retrograde, any of you that want to do research, correlates to the Venus retrograde, the next time it retrogrades in 2020, okay? So it's very powerful time, as Divine Mystic was putting, emotions, feelings, dreams. And basically, I would say as a collective, as a people, as humanity, we are in a restructuring and reprioritizing of our focus, our priorities, how we love, what we value, and what we relate to, how we relate, recognizing we're interconnected to everything and everyone. We live in an interrelational world and universe. And one of the themes that's really coming up is this whole idea of honesty, really getting honest with yourself. I'm calling it radical honesty. Years ago, in fact, I use a couple of the processes that I learned years ago from this group that I joined based on the book Radical Honesty. And I'm not remembering the author's name right now. I can see his face on the cover. But we had to be, I think we did it for a month, maybe 3 months. We had to be radically honest. And that means exactly what it says. No holds bar honesty to everything and everyone, And it was, I'm a very honest person. I'm very upfront, but I even found myself kind of, fudging and, how do I diplomatically say this, or how to, but it taught me a lot. It taught me about how much we censor. And hey, Denise, joining us from Australia, welcome. Good morning. It's afternoon here, but good morning there. So what I see is, and you see this right now being played out in the political arena, especially in the United States, but really internationally, what is a lie? What is a truth? A lie is a lie. The whole idea, and let's break it down. Why is this happening? If we're going to shift out of victim martyr consciousness, as a individually and as a collective, we have to be truthful with ourselves, and we can't enable anymore, basically. So what is happening is the call is to reevaluate your life right now, reevaluate, assess, are you really living your truth? Are you living your potential? Are there areas where you aren't doing as well? And how can you get support? I find it very timely that we have today, at the second half of the program, our Awakenings guest is Mackenzie Phillips, who I used to watch on TV at One Day at a Time. So I'm excited about that, having her on the program. But the bigger picture about having her on the program, correlating with the topic of radical honesty, is I feel in any healing, and especially with substance abuse, addiction, whatever form that's taking, you have to get honest with yourself, and you have to get honest with the people around you. However, it's easier and more consistent to be honest with people around you if you're honest with yourself. And sometimes that isn't so pretty, which has to be okay. So I'm going to get her take kind of on honesty in recovery. What does honesty, mean? And, there's varying degrees of honesty. And I always say, I feel like you can be honest and still have humanity or be diplomatic, And sometimes, by the way, honesty is boundaries. It's not doing something when you're too tired or you haven't eaten enough or you don't really have to do it. Honesty is recognizing you don't have to be the good little boy or the good little girl. You know, you don't have to be the one that fixes everything. But that's not your role, you know. So honesty isn't always Tamara in the chat, big fan of Mackenzie Phillips. Yes, we had a lot of support about having her on the program. That was great. So, yes, and Tamara said, yeah, you need to tell the truth mostly to yourself, let alone others. That's integrity. Yes, and integrity comes from that Latin word integris, which means wholeness. So honesty is living out all parts of ourselves, all aspects in the most life-enhancing or healthy way or a way that promotes more wholeness. So a lot of relationships right now, including relationships with yourself, are going under kind of some scrutiny to say, hey, come on, are you really living up to your what you want to do or what's your potential or what you came here to do or what you feel you want to do? How are you spending your time? What do you value? So, again, there's this whole idea of moving into being more honest with oneself, living from much more integrity. Why? Because in the new paradigm, as we get together with more groups, as we come together more in community, and, you know, if you want to call them soul tribes or, you know, tribes in general, we don't want to replay the Messiah or having a leader and having followers. We don't want a cult. And the only reason people get involved in cults is, and I don't mean get involved but get sucked in, is because they don't have a strong sense of self. I spent years ago time in some groups, and I've woven through, and I won't name the names because some people will think they're cults, some people won't, but they were cults. Everything has a cult fashion, Scientology, Dianetics, I mean, it could be Mormonism, it could be, and I'm just throwing something out. I don't have anything for or against it. Self-realization, fellowship, city yoga, anything that gets culty where there's somebody always telling you what to do and you're not thinking for yourself, you're not feeling for yourself. I saw many people get so caught up and lose themselves. I was even told in one group, oh, you're a dilettante or you know, you don't believe anything, you're a skeptic. And I said, no, but I come in, I take what I like, what fits in, I get the healing, I have the experience, and I move on because I only have one source. That religion, that group is not my source. It's an aspect of source energies, but it's not the source. And this is where people get caught up. Divine Mystic is putting in, yes, you're so right, you lose your own authority. And I saw time and time again people doing that, and aren't you going to do this level, aren't you doing that, aren't you? And I was like, no. And they're like, why, you're not? No, because I don't feel it. So what is, you know, soul-centered living is what that's what I do and aspire to do even more and to help people do. Oh my God, you guys, it's so beautiful. Guess what's right outside my window on my tree? A raven just sitting by my window. That's great magic, wisdom, ravens, crows, messages. I love it. My shamanic energy is activated now. So why do we not get – where does peer pressure come in? Where does it come from? People don't have a sense of self. They aren't connected to their soul. I remember when I was modeling and acting, jet setting around the world, you guys know that. I love going out. I love dancing. You'll see me. I always say my biography or autobiography is going to be called, you'll find me at the left of the DJ or the left speaker. Don't drink, get my water, put it by the speaker, put it on the ground, and I'm there 2, 3, 4 hours. I've been known to be 5, 6 hours plus on the dance floor. But I've also did meditation retreats where we meditated at 8 hours a day. Anyway, I remember being stationed in New York and Chicago, and we'd go out, we'd meet, we'd have, you know, dinner and meet up with people, and then we'd go out and go out dancing. But the day of, I had bought my metaphysical, because every place I traveled, I looked for a health food store, spiritual center, and a metaphysical bookstore. So I would get my books or, you know, get stuff online, you know, get things that I want to read all together. And maybe I'd have my tarot or my divination tools, or I had my guide to the I Ching. So come a certain time at the night, all I was thinking about is I can't get wait to get home and read. I just can't wait to get home and read. And I'll never forget one time when there was a group of 8 or 10 of us, and everybody's getting in cabs. And I told my friend, I think it was my friend Moji, and I said, I'm going to go home and read. She said, yeah, me too. I'm going to go a little bit later. And one of the guys heard, and they go, oh, Michelle's going to go home and read. Oh, she has to read. She's not going out with us. And they did this, like, tried to do this shamey thing on me, which never worked with me. Even as a child, my parents couldn't shame me. I was like, really? I said, well, I don't care. You guys are so boring that this is all you have to do. And I said, I love going home to read. And I did. I pounced off, got in the cab and went home and dived into my books, lit my incense. And it was astrology. That's what I remember. And I remember the time. That was my astrology books. And so what's the point of this? The point is that if we don't have a sense of self, we're not connected to our core, our true nature, we are going to be led astray. Mind you, we all go down dead ends. We get led astray a little bit, but it's much, much less when we have a sense of self. And the only way to find that is spiritual practice, tuning in with ourselves and communing within our divine nature, within that part of us that is eternal, the part that makes us unique. Asking yourself, you know, I could have said, oh, yeah, I'll go. But no, asking yourself, what do you really want to do? What really inspires you? What really brings joy to you? What really fulfills you? You know, when you do that and you stay connected, someone put the magic in life. And I wish I'd been taught this as a young child, but I'm moving into it now. Well, yes, it's never too late to move into this because we are this. We are this magic and mystery. The only reason that we're not is because we've been socialized out of it. It's learned responses, conditioned learned response patterns, which can be changed. That's why there's an amazing saying about addiction, that addiction is simply not having connection, or people that get, you know, highly addicted, and there's many forms of that, are trying to get that high again, that spiritual high. And so, you know, it does get a little mundane, a little humdrum on the earth plane, and definitely in our own path, in life itself, in the job, quote unquote, the career, no matter how much you love it, in a relationship. So you have to find ways to connect in with yourself and each other that bring you to remember the truth of who you are and tap you into the magic and the mystery of life. For some, it's nature. It's hiking. To me, it could even be walking. Or I walk down my street, I have a Kenny, and I feel the artistic energy. There's certain areas I go, or I go to art gallery, you know, or I go to one place to have that does a great chai tea. They're little tiny things. They're little tiny things that connect you. It's never the big things. Some of you know this. I mean, I lived at one point the lifestyle I had. I lived the big things. They were fun, but I remember the little things. I remember the coffee or the cappuccino with somebody and having a great conversation. I remember the great art gallery opening. I remember dancing under the moon for hours to great drumming or music. It's these little tiny things, and if you look at them, they connect us to what we can't quite articulate. They connect us to love. They connect us to hope. They connect us to fulfillment. They connect us to something more than what we are on our own. Even hiking, or you feel that interconnectedness to nature, you know, a little baby or my little doggy Yoshi looking in with her cute little open eyes. It's those things that are hard to describe, you know, and sometimes fleeting, you know, they go quickly, you know, and sometimes we want to hold on and savor them. So what I invite everyone to do is take the time to really tune in and listen to see what is it that you really want to do, what is really most life-enhancing for you, what is most aligned to your soul's purpose, what brings you the most joy, and that's what you need to follow. That's what's coming up. And in relationship, it's also being more honest with each other. That's honesty. That's really what's coming up with yourself and each other. So I'm going to get to phone lines right now because we have Mackenzie Phillips calling at 12:45. She's going to be with us, I think, a half an hour, maybe a little longer. But I will towards the end of the program, continue with readings as well and answer questions also. So let us see who's on the line here. We've got 917-756. You're on air. Welcome. Hello, 917-756. Hello. Okay, I'll come back to you. Sometimes people walk away, step away. 860-836. Hello, you're
Hi.
On air. You're on Awakening. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Who's this?
This is Amla.
Alma, welcome.
Yes.
Alma?
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Alma, like soul. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, what's your question?
Okay, I'm wondering if you see, I went to a meditation and I met somebody there and this past Sunday, and we really connected on a soul level, all levels. I'm wondering if you see a relationship coming up with him. Or is it somebody else?
Okay. Well, okay, you mean a long time. Because here's the thing, I love that question, but that we're in relationship to everyone and everything. So there's already a relationship there. I feel there's
a
connection. Even we're right. Even at the grocery store, we're having that inner, and sometimes we can get the most insight and information from somebody passing. Does this guy have dark hair?
Yes. You got it.
Okay. Cause I was, okay. That's what I'm seeing. Okay. Dark hair guy. And you met him at a retreat. Now, is he out of the area from you?
Yeah, he's in the state, but he's far away.
But far away, but, yeah. I'm getting a distance.
Yep.
Well, first of all, I do see more connecting with him, but I'm getting a lot with phone and email.
Yes.
So sure. That's letting me know that, yeah, that it's going to stay. Let me ask you what kind of relationship.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm going to ask what kind, because I do see a lot of phone, I see, you know, email, whatever, internet, I see a lot of connecting, but it's showing at a distance. It's showing him remaining around in your life. You could see him a time or two, that's what the guy's coming in, a time or two, but I feel for the life mate, the longer term relationship you're wanting is a bit further off. Let me get your month and day of birth, Alma, if I could.
Sure, it's 12/16.
Okay, I want to just see what's coming up because, you're more ready now than you were, I feel, even months ago.
Absolutely.
So that's a good, that's,
And Michelle, I mean, just so I share, this row, it's kind of like a lotus flower and blossom because I did meet him in the fall. It's already been 5 months since I've met him. So it's just this being like the earth kind of thing going around.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm feeling the internet and the email. Is that how you've been communicating?
Yeah, it's
phone.
But when we did, it's interesting. Yes, we do email and the internet and all that. It's funny, but when we connected on any time, it's like we're so in sync. It's incredible.
Yeah, here's the thing. I do feel it's a bit off. I would say probably around the birth date on into next year, I feel you're going to get what I call a mirroring relationship or a partnership where there's going to be a lot of you're going to need to integrate some stuff from him. He's going to need to integrate some stuff from you. I feel this guy, I feel you're somehow going to see him again.
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are. Oh, okay. Okay, there it is.
It's hard.
And it keeps
holistic field. I'm a speaker, and he owns a place where he offers retreats and workshops, and so, that's inevitable.
Oh.
That's already happened.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. It's already happening. Oh, good. I love that confirmation. Okay. Yeah, so I keep hearing from the guys a time or two. So I feel like it's somebody you physically see a here and there, a time or two, but the connection stays as far as the communication is there. But the other person that I feel coming in feels more local to you, could be a half an hour, 40 minutes, 45 minutes away, not right around the block, but he's closer in proximity.
Okay.
And I feel, do you ever go to like business parks? Or conferences?
conferences. No.
What is there a business park near where you live, or not far?
Business. What do you mean by a business park?
Well, there's a lot of businesses there. The buildings are. It's not skyscrapers. He's near you. His work is near you. This guy that I see you meeting.
Okay.
It almost looks like a quad. You know, they have like a little grassy area, the walkway, and then the buildings are lower. They're not high. They're not, but they're businesses. You know, they're offices
interesting.
There.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to Florida, and that's exactly what it sounds like where I'm going. It's like businesses. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, that's the environment I see you meeting this other man at. That I feel is more long term is the partner. That's coming up. So yeah, this guy will still be around though, but the other one is I feel is more local to you.
Got it.
Is more local.
Okay.
So I may be picking up where you're going, the next place where you're going to talk or do whatever. But the other one I feel works in a similar kind of environment. Who knows? You may get a gig locally and he's near there. But I don't feel he necessarily has anything to do with your work. I feel like it could be a one-off meeting, or you're waiting for him, which is interesting. Maybe or you're waiting maybe during lunch. That's why I'm wondering if you're going, it's interesting, if you're going to be doing some kind of workshop or seminar or series or weekend something where they have lunch break. And it's local to you. And I feel like you meet him during that time period and he's interested in what you're doing. Oh, you're doing that. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Oh, yeah, we do that. Or I did a class like that one time. And da, 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 da. So, yeah, he's coming. He's not far off. Not far off at all, Alma. Keep us posted, okay, sweetie?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Much peace.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so I'm going to try that 917 number again. 917-756, you're on air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hi, who's this?
I'm from New York.
And what's your first name?
Wes, W-E-S.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, I'm kind of struggling with my my career at the moment. I'm sort of at a crossroads where, you know, I work really hard to get where I'm at, but I can't see myself, you know, staying on this trajectory at the moment, going forward in the same career. So I've got a few other opportunities at hand, and I'm not sure what to do.
Okay. Now, Wes, are you looking at anything with consulting with companies?
Not really. No.
Okay, because it shows some type of partnership with you, or working in partnership. Are you thinking of starting something on your own?
No, so there is definitely partnership opportunities. So there is.
So what's happening with that? Because that's what seems to be around you more. There looks like a lot, partnership is what's coming up. And it's showing you to check things out.
Okay. I have three separate partnership opportunities.
Well, that shows the direction to go in. Is that what you're looking at doing, is going in the partnership?
I'm definitely exploring that path, and I definitely want to have that as a side, almost like not having all my eggs in one basket. And pursuing these side interests to see where they go.
See, that's the main thing I get when I read your energy, is the partnership. And maybe that's because, like you said, you have three of them. But it is saying really research deeply these, you know, really look through it, especially one seems to be with somebody that you maybe could be friend, colleague, a little bit closer. That's what I feel is most up for you, is to get those partnerships going and then look for something else corporate-wise. I know you're wanting something with more stability. But it is saying, why not start with the partnership? You can always get the corporate. I feel like you're very easily hired, you know, so that's not the issue. It's you getting clarity about what it is that you really want to do. And a very big part of you wants to do this partnership, this collaborative, wants to do something on the side, which I do feel could be, would be, will be very beneficial, the one that you choose.
I definitely
You agree? Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I wouldn't wait to do that. Are you moving forward on that? It's saying you should really move forward on the partnership idea.
I am. So there is one that is very active, and we're moving forward with that. And then there's a second one that's just come up, and that's going to – I mean, it's more of a investment role in that second partnership, but that's also mm-hmm. in the works. And then there's one that I'm a little bit more passionate about, and that's what we haven't really gotten into it at this stage, but something that we're definitely exploring. But at the same time, what kind of tears me a little is I'm in a place where I'm very stable, actually, but not necessarily happy.
Right. Yes. Well, it's not just going to come from the work, as you know.
Yes.
What I feel is as you go more into the partnership. See, what I feel with you is I see here, you're actually going through your own transformation of, you know, what I was talking about at the beginning of the program is prioritizing, reprioritizing, and reevaluating your life. So there's going to have to be a little bit more of your life lived to be able to reflect back on, to have the aha, the insight that says, oh, I want to go in this direction more, I want to do this more. I would say as much as possible, developing a spiritual path, looking at what spiritually connects you within, and changing, mm-hmm. letting yourself change it up. But I think this is why I'm getting, you know, focusing on the partnership and moving forward with that, getting that going is going to clear the decks so that you can look within more. Okay? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. Keep us posted, Wes, to how you're doing, okay? Because I really do see some great things for you. I feel like for you, it's not even meditation or mindfulness. That's a part of it. It's just the spiritual connection, being connected spiritually. Here's my phrase I always use. It's the little things. So as you connect more to the little things in life, like I was talking about, the little cappuccino, the talks with friends, I feel innovation, something's going to come, boom, whizzing through for you. That's going to send you in a different trajectory. Because I hear you. Your soul is saying, hey, we're done. We made it up to this far. Something else. But see, consciousness changes also or expands by our life experience. So sometimes we have to live through something to then make different decisions. So less is more with you, you know, other than the partnerships. Get those going, you know, but allow the space for the little things.
Okay.
All right, Wes, keep us posted. All right, much peace.
Thank you so much. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 770-322. You're on air. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Maddie Louise. And my question
Louise.
Is, yes, hello?
Yes, I hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, I thought I was going too fast. Okay. But anyway, no. You mentioned Venus. Going retrograde.
Yes.
And I said, wow, my Venus is in this place in Pisces. And I thought, what effect that would have on me?
Well, you'd have to look at because Venus is retrograde in Aries, you'd have to look at what's in Aries or even in the first house or Libra would be opposing. The degree you have, do you know anything about your chart?
A little bit, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just say overall. Let me just kind of tune in on you. See, for overall, for everybody, yeah, Divine Mystic. That's a loaded question, yeah, because it could go anyway. You know, perhaps for you right now, the reevaluation would be because Venus in Pisces. Sometimes it's kind of not as tangible or maybe more focused on what is not seen or subtle or more of the mystical, being drawn to that or loving that. Or it can be sometimes, you know, a bit of illusion taking place. So I would say right now for you, the scrutiny would be, or the looking at your life and yourself would be, are you getting out there as much in life? Are you doing some of the more mundane things, everyday things? It's funny, this is a theme, even with Wes who called in. Not kidding, my little decaf cappuccino. You know, especially us as mystics, light workers, star seeds, healers, whatever you want to term, or people that are in the helping profession, we can get very serious and we can get very out of the earth experience. Sometimes it's really good to get into the everyday earth experience, gardening, walking along the beach, getting our hands dirty, you know, cleaning the backyard, sweeping, moving things around, going shopping for pillows, you know what I mean? Earth, mundane.
All that fun right? stuff. I mean,
yeah, I feel for you right now, your mystical, magical brain needs a rest because you're very mystic. You're out there. You're mystical. So some of the mundane, everyday stuff, see how much you can enjoy that. Getting together with some friends, you know, or some girlfriends and just laughing, you know, go and see some art. But yeah, I feel for you, this next phase for you is actually about grounding, getting more into the mundane everyday world, and then translating your mysticism, your awareness into that. Does that make sense for you?
Yes, because I am mystical, magical, yes. And yes, it does. And I did get away from being out in nature at the park, walking, climbing. I did get away from that.
Okay.
And I knew
that. So go back to that, Louise. Go back to that. Yes, yes.
And I want to also say, I don't know if this would help you also, that my Venus is in Pisces, but in the eighth house.
Oh, well, that makes it extra mystical, magical. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the eighth house is ruled by Pluto, so you're deep. You like transformation. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you need a little break.
The eighth house is ruled by Pluto? Oh.
Yes, yes.
I did not know that.
Pluto and the planet Pluto, or mini planet, and Scorpio, Scorpionic. So it's deep relationship, deep emotional connecting, the occult. So, yes, go take a walk. Go get into nature. That's, yes. Enjoy being an Earth human.
I learned something today because I never knew that. I know Pluto is over my, it's sitting on top of Capricorn, which is my zodiac sign.
Okay. Well, you're getting some changes there. Got to go into our mixed caller because our guest is going to be calling in a little bit. But keep listening and keep us posted. Let me know. Your little homework is to go for a hike.
Oh, yes.
Go for a walk.
I'll start that today. I will start that later.
Okay.
I'm going to the park and do my walk. Okay.
Sounds
thank you.
Good. All right, Louise. You're welcome.
Bye.
Much peace. Love that. Love that. Hi, 978-457. You're on air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on air.
Oh, hi, Michelle. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
So glad
to
talk to
you. Who am I speaking to?
My name's Amanda.
Yes, and who? Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the program. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I actually would like some insight on my marriage.
Okay. That's a big question.
We've been struggling for a couple years. Yeah.
Okay. Did you, and what do you feel the struggle is?
Besides communication
and opening up. That's what you feel. That's what I'm getting, communication and opening up. But what else do you feel is there? That's what I'm getting psychically, communication, opening up.
Well, I have moved out twice, and now we're back in the same house. And I just feel like we're going back into our same patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
That's
wasn't sure I if
too.
I should just now.
Well, here's the deal. If you're back and forth, I'm a big proponent, and part of it is I'm a therapist, but I've done every kind of workshop, seminar, and type of therapy, and still work with somebody. I think you both need individual counseling and counseling together for the patterns. That's why I said when I first tuned in on you, I got a communication and opening up. And that's why I asked you, I said, what else do you think is really going on? Because it's never communication and open. There's always something there. There's relating patterns that we have, conditioned response patterns that mutually charge us, you know. And that happens with,
right.
You know, it happens, right, it happens in the workplace. But we can kind of contain that. But when we get with a significant other or family members, it's really hard to contain. And I don't feel we can do it alone. I think you need to have support. The other thing I would say, I feel if you don't do the counseling, this is going to come up again in another relationship. Because it's not just about communication. It's about honesty and opening up about your true needs to yourself. But to open up to our true needs, we have to know what our needs are and how to get them in a healthy way. Divine Mystic in the chat is putting Venus retro. Yeah, the Venus, it's calling that up to reprioritize and evaluate and look. That's what I would suggest to you because you keep coming back. So there's
right.
something there. If you follow me on Facebook, take a look at my Facebook Live that I did on Monday that goes into
okay.
this and 2 weeks ago. On empaths and I did on relationship, and I think that will give you a lot of insight. But work together individually on your path. You know, you have somebody to work with, he has somebody to work with, and then you could do a, you know, shared, really marriage counseling or relationship counseling, because I do that with my clients, but I require they work on their own with somebody, because when you come together,
we both are.
Okay. Well, then look at it as a person, but you should be making changes. So make sure they're doing repatterning or hypnotherapy, something that's getting to the patterns and how holding the accountability. I get intuitively I wouldn't give up, but you
okay.
do need to work through the issue of the relating patterns. All right, sweetie Amanda, keep us
okay.
posted, okay? Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Much peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, it's that time for our awakening dialogue. Our awakened guest today is Mackenzie Phillips. Many of you know her for her roles in American Graffiti, also as a rebellious teenager, Julie Moran Cooper, on the sitcom One Day at a Time. She also was on the Disney Channel science fiction show So Weird. Some of you also know her as the stepdaughter of Michelle Phillips. Both lead singers, and John Phillips, both lead singers of the 60s band, the Mamas and the Papas. Many of you know of Mackenzie Phillips' journey in life. She's been very open and about her path of substance abuse, recovery, and healing. Today, in light of that, she also works at Breathe Life Healing Center in West Hollywood as a substance abuse counselor. She is also the author of the best-selling book, High on Life, or High on Arrival, and her recent book, Hopeful Healing, Essays on Managing Recovery and Surviving Addiction, is fastly becoming a popular book as well. I want to welcome to the program Mackenzie Phillips. Welcome, Mackenzie.
Hi.
Hi. Wonderful to connect with you.
How are you guys? Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. I love that you almost called my first book High on Life. That makes me happy. Now I am high on life.
You are now. I know. You know, and that's so true. Thank you for saying that because it is so true. When I read when I first got a copy a couple months ago of your book, Hopeful Healing, Essays on Managing Recovery and Surviving Addiction, I did pick that up. I thought, wow, this person is really in tune and in touch with themselves and life itself, you know?
Oh,
and maybe that's what
you.
It caught. Yeah, no, it really comes through. There's a realness. There's a realness to the book and also a sense of gratitude, you know, for life and appreciation. And that's nice to read because a lot of times when people go through hard times, they don't always get to that place, you know, of appreciation.
Well, I think it's easy
for
people to... I think it's easy for people to become jaded and to become shut down, especially people who've suffered some sort of trauma. And so people go, wow, it's not safe out here. It's too people-y. It's not safe. And I think that that is a function of the trauma, not a function of the wellness.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, but you're right. The jaded, the shut down, the kind of rigid. I didn't get the rigidity yeah, that can sometimes happen when you have that recovery journey. There's a playfulness,
yes.
You know, there's a playfulness. And speaking of that, so how did you not get jaded and shut down? Because so many people do, you know, no matter what they go through. Bad relationship, breakup, you know, it's hard not to.
I have, for some reason, been able to retain my childlike wonder and my joy through all the difficult times. I mean, I'm like I say in Hopeful Healing, I'm a happy monkey. I always have been a very sort of cheerful person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing an echo.
Love
Are
that.
You hearing an echo?
I'm not. Are you hearing now?
Okay. Yeah, I am, but that's okay. Okay. As long as you guys aren't hearing it, we're cool.
Okay. Why are you hearing yourself back? I don't hear
yes.
it. But, yes.
No, good. Well, as long as it's not happening there, we're good.
Okay. If it gets bad, you can always call back in. Just let me know because I want you to be comfortable.
Okay. No, I'm fine.
So I wanted to ask, because a lot of times, I know you wrote, when I read this book, your book, I thought, yeah, this is substance abuse, but not, it could be applied to anything. I think anybody going through trauma, basically, there's some good exercises and tips. I love like being mindful of the moment, you know, which I'm a big proponent of the moment and the little things, you know. So I think it's kind of could be like a handbook for getting through anything. But just to clear something up, because there's a lot of definitions, what would you say addiction is? How would you define addiction?
Well, you know, the medical description of it is a chronic relapsing brain disorder, which is characterized by persistent use despite persistent negative consequences. Now, what would I say? I would say it's, you know, sort of a soul sickness. It's because if drugs and alcohol are but a symptom of a deeper underlying issue, then what are we medicating? What are you trying to medicate?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why Tamara's putting great point, good point in the chat. Yeah, because it seems like, and I feel like on some level, society, we're taught to be, you know, addicted. We're taught to kind of change what's happening or what it, you talk about in your book, Acceptance of This. You know, we're taught to change, you know, to change what we don't like or what's uncomfortable. And, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, overworking out. I met somebody who was addicted to meditation. They would not talk about their feelings or get angry. They would say, oh, I'm just going to meditate on it. You know, and everybody around them was so unhappy, you know, because everybody felt their anger, you know.
I love
but
it.
They, yeah. But they said, well, I don't get angry. I go meditate. And I'm like, well, everybody around you is feeling your anger, you know.
But
so
I think we need to make the distinction.
That,
I think it's important to make the distinction that someone who's addicted to meditation, the people around them might get angry. But someone who's addicted to heroin is very likely going to die. And so it's a way more dire type of thing than just sort of a societal addiction to shopping, or which, you know, can really get in the way of your life and your, you know, and your relationships. But it's probably not going to kill you, you know. That we call that a process addiction. Clinically, it's termed a process addiction: shopping, sex, gambling, that type of thing. But a substance use disorder, which is the new terminology for it through the DSM-5, it's a life threatening illness, and I think that society is sort of hung up on saying that addicts are, that it's some sort of moral failing, that it's some sort of moral issue, and I think we need to shift that type of thinking away from that, because, you know, we're in the grips of
physiological.
We're in the grips of a heroin epidemic, and, you know, people are 80 people a day are dying in this country from accidental opioid overdoses. So, you know, we need to get hip to the fact that this is a thought disorder and not a moral issue.
Absolutely. Well, and my point is that we're taught on some level, yes, if there's a spectrum where obviously the heroin or opioid and people are going to heroin because it's cheaper than, you know, the opioids, the pharmaceutical, but that there is something, to your point where you said, you know, had something to do with the soul or spirit, a lot of that there is this prevalence that whether whatever level on the spectrum, from, you know, light shopping or gambling that can cause problems, to alcohol, to heroin where it's life-threatening, there is something in individually and collectively in the society that is drawing people that way, or you know, circumventing that spiritual or soul connection, and the addiction is replacing that, you know, on a mental level and obviously right, a physiological level as well.
Absolutely. You know, and I think we quite often overlook alcohol as though it's, you know, the safe drug, when in fact alcohol is a very, very dangerous substance, and so I just thought I'd mention that.
No, I like that. No, because I agree with you. A lot of it gets a pass because it's legal, you know, and a lot of people do. Do you think that alcohol, what do you feel about the idea of like marijuana gateway drug, alcohol gateway drug? Do you feel that kind of lessens the barrier for then somebody to go into more the extreme drugs and drug use?
I don't really know, you know. I mean, if I'm in a room running a group with a bunch of people who are trying to get sober, if I were to ask them, you know, who started with weed, most people would raise their hands. But I think also we need to look at the fact that marijuana is a medicinal plant. It is a medicinal plant. And so when you talk about CBD oil, where all of the intoxicant is removed, there's no more THC, there's just CBD in there. That is a really useful medicinal part of the marijuana plant that's really helping a lot of people. So I'm not sure which side of the fence I'm on. I mean, because we're not talking about the kind of weed that I smoked in the 70s. You know, that was like, you know, we called it ragweed, you know. But now this stuff is, you know, it's grown, you know, under ideal concept, you know, environmental, and it's farm, you know, and it's crystallized, and it's very, very deeply psychoactive. So it's something to be mindful of, especially young people who have a pre-existing mental disorder. You can definitely see marijuana psychosis cropping up.
Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Have you seen that?
I have seen that. You know, I work in treatment, and so we do see that occasionally, yeah. I think they're seeing it more in adolescent treatment centers than they are, because I work in an adult treatment center, 18 and older, but I do know some colleagues who are dealing with that with adolescents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's frightening. Mackenzie, you've done a lot, and what would you say, as you look back, any first awakening or awakenings that you had to, I want to live my life differently, or I want something different?
I think that, you know, I mean, I've been a seeker all of my life. You know, I've always, you know, from the time I was a little girl, I wanted my mom to take me to all the different churches in the neighborhood. And I ended up at the, Jewish temple, and I've chanted Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, I've meditated, you name it. I've always been looking for something. And it took me a long time to realize that it's not outside of me. What I'm seeking isn't something, it isn't a geographic destination. It's not a place. Mm-hmm. It's already inside of me. Mm. And that the peace that I'm searching for is there for me if I just am open to accessing it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's not a place, not a destination. Correct. Yeah, it's in you. So it's wherever you are, that it's there.
But it's the knowing that it's there, and just opening oneself up to, you know, because we're so focused on taking care of others and loving other people, but it's that receiving that's so important, to allow oneself to receive the good so that you have enough to give back.
Mm-hmm. How do you find that place for yourself? You know, how did you find the recognition that it's right there inside you? Was it a feeling?
Well, I mean, it was after, like I said, years of looking for it outside of myself and trying to, you know, it's like that determination to untangle this thing like it's some sort of math problem or something, when in fact it's just so simple and beautiful that if you're quiet long enough and you are well long enough and you're not bombarding your brain with substances, that sort of thing just becomes, it's like, oh, now I see. It's everything's okay. I'm okay, and everything I need, I already have.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's so true. I would say it's the little things. It's the small things. If we just stop and pause, you know, it's just and look and feel. It's just there is so much interconnectedness. You can feel it. It's palpable. But you're right. If you plug up with a lot of stuff, you can't, you know, access it or feel it within you.
And people who don't have a substance use disorder and aren't plugging it up with you know, drugs and alcohol, you can plug it up with relationships. You can plug it up with you know, a hyper focus on politics. You know, anything. You know, that doesn't allow you that space to just be.
Yeah, and again, that's what I was trying to get at. You just said something, the hyper politics. So there is this thing I think that we're kind of taught, this group think, you know, group mentality, to over focus on those externals, whether it's politics or the latest this or who's doing that or TMZ and da 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 da, you know, on and on and on. It's pulling us out where there's always this hunger, there's this void, there's this space, you know, that's craving to be filled up. And I do find, I mean, I could feel it in your book. I mean, managing the recovery and the surviving addiction, that somehow you're not getting pulled out there, that knee-jerk response to get pulled out there. And I think that's a very important thing for people to, you know, how do you not get pulled out there? How do you say, wait, got to stop or got to look within? You know, are there triggers within you? Are there signs? How do you do that?
To not be focused on, you know, all the crap that's going on in the world?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you said hyper, and you're right. It's this, yeah, exactly. The hyperness, the hyper. How do you?
People are hyper-focused, hyper-focused, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
yes.
How do I do that? You just have to practice. I mean, people say to me, well, how do I forgive? Well, you begin to consider forgiveness as something that might be good for you. And then you start asking people about, well, what is forgiveness to you? And then maybe you start reading about forgiveness, and then you start practicing it on yourself, practicing it in your life. You know, and so to not become completely caught up in the whirlwind of, you know, whatever's going on in society. Certainly, I mean, I'm involved in it, and I interact in the, you know, in the greater world. But I don't know. I mean, how do you do that? You know, how do you do anything? You just start. There's no owner's manual to figure out how to not be focused on something. You have to shift your focus. You have to be able to shift your state of being to allow your state of being to understand what's important, not allow the TV to tell you what's important or your neighbor to tell you what's important. What is, you know, you have to actually ask yourself.
Cameron, the chat's been a conscious choice. Yeah. I think because you said, I believe it was in your book, you said something about the steps, the little steps. And so what I'm hearing you say now is it really is those little steps. If you just start and say, okay, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm going to choose to look within or do something else. Because I think sometimes people, believe it or not, they wait, and maybe you've experienced, I know I have on some level, we wait for something sometimes big, like something's going to happen to get us to not do that, when it really is those just starting or those small steps.
Absolutely. If we wait for something big, it could be catastrophic. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. What's that thing? The proverbial 2x4.
That's right.
Right. And what do you think has helped you the most on your path of recovery? Is there any one thing, or is it a combination of things? I know a lot of times people say it's a lot of things, but is there any one thing that sticks out to you?
Well, not really. I mean, it's just being like really grateful, like you were talking earlier, just gratitude, just being aware that the moments that I'm noticing now in life, that all those years just passed me by. I mean, how many amazing things probably happened that I didn't even notice were happening, you know? And now that my life is different and that I'm different, I have the opportunity to be mindful and observant and go, oh, isn't that lovely, or isn't this beautiful?
I love that. Yeah, I've kind of integrated that more in my life of gratitude, especially if I'm feeling down about something or I didn't get something that I wanted, or, and it's like, look around and be grateful. It totally, for me anyway, always shifts things. It's just appreciation for what is.
I heard you talking about astrology and stuff like that while I was on hold, and I got very intrigued about what you guys do over there.
Oh, on the program or just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah, we were talking about, it's all, you know, pretty much people on their path connecting more to their spiritual center, their soul, and tools to do that, you know, but taking more of a spiritual route and metaphysical for empowerment and connecting more with your soul's purpose. But we were talking about astrology because Venus is retrograde, so there's a lot coming up about relationship, reprioritizing your life, what's important, and that's going to help. That's going to also affect people collectively, culminating in 2020. Reprioritizing money, finance, what we view as resources, moving more into an exchange of energy with people. You know, you can see it. You can see what's going on politically. Also, the whole idea of what's really true. Which I do absolutely love about a path of recovery is that you have to get truthful.
Yes.
You know? And we don't have that enough in society. So that's going to be a biggie right now with this Venus retrograde, is people being, I'm calling it radical honesty, radically honest with yourself, people closest to you, whether it comes out soft love, you know, tough love, it doesn't matter. It's just about moving into that honesty.
Oh well, isn't that amazing? I love that. I didn't know Venus was retrograde. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's retrograde in Aries, so it has a lot to do with the self. So it's kind of self emancipation right now from illusion. What is not really important to you, and if you don't.
And
away,
that's the thing is
say,
that we have society telling us what's important all the time. Someone's telling us what's important. You know, media campaigns are telling us what's important. And we never actually take the moment to be introspective and find out what the truth is for us. What is the truth for you? What is really important for you? Or are you going to become this sort of herd animal that's going to be told what is important? And people tell you what's true. Is it really true? Or are you just believing it because you're being told it? And I think it's really important for us to actually be a part of that sea change, that shift of being, that shift of states of being, where we're asking ourselves deeper questions as opposed to just believing what we're being fed.
Absolutely. And you just encapsulated it. That's major, major movement that's happening right now. It's starting to happen, and you're going to see more of it because the herd is going to rise up. They're going to be, oh, you know, I went this way and I didn't even really want to go this way. But the bigger point is people have to know, like you said, that self-inquiry. I feel that if you never look within or you never take time to assess your life and evaluate, you don't know what's really important to you, you know? And so people have to find that out. Yeah, that's going to be a big push right now, and especially individually with each other, you know, with yourself. That's, of course, where it always starts, but you're going to see more of that even in relationship and outer situations and circumstances where people just say, no, that's not interesting to me. That's not my truth, you know. I don't buy into that.
Exactly.
Interesting times coming up.
But you have to become curious in order to do that, and I think the beauty of curiosity is sort of societally being undermined by the age of information. You know, we're curious about, you know, we're not curious about the things that are important. We're curious about how tall Nicole Kidman is, you know, or something.
Yeah.
You know, we're not Googling the deeper truths. We're Googling, you know, we're Googling celebrity culture and it's just so, you know, we're waking up though. People are waking up to what's really important.
I think so. And I think the part of the wake up is that we're all important. I think that's, you know, I think we're in a mass recovery or going to be moving into where people wake up and go, oh yeah, my life is important too. It's not just what's in the,
I was just talking with a colleague about, do you remember Desiderata?
Yes, yes, I love that.
Okay, so in Desiderata it says go placidly amid the noise and haste, and I think it's a really whoever's out there listening and doesn't know what Desiderata is, Google that right now, because there's a line in Desiderata that says, "You are a child of the universe, no less important than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here," and that's just so powerful to me. And I think we forget that. We forget that we are divine. We are divine.
Yes, exactly. We are divine. So, yeah, that's...
We are divine.
Yeah, Google that. Avoid the loud and great vexations of spirit. Oh, some people are putting it in there in the chat.
There you go. Oh, good. I'm so glad people...
Yeah.
I'm so glad people,
some people
remember it because it's such a... It's so beautiful.
That's Denise from... Australia, she knows it. So, yeah, you know, we all know it well, Jared. But maybe we need to revisit it because it is because I think that's the next level of the wake up. You know, the awakening is that people realize the truth. We are all divine. We all have a piece, a part to play, and it's important. And then that brings your focus back to your life instead of projecting it externally onto what other people are doing or not doing. You know.
That's right. That is right.
Mm. Now, you talk about, I love this because you, and you definitely are, I can feel your energy. It's like, you must get a lot done. You've got a lot of energy. I can feel it. It's
I
like,
do,
wow,
and I don't even,
do.
I don't even use caffeine. I mean, I'm drinking, you know, herbal tea. I don't know how. I'm 57 years old, but I am full of energy. I'm telling you right now.
You are. I mean, even just the way you write to get all the stuff done. Now you're working at the treatment center. Then you also still, you know, do your artistic stuff and acting. I just saw you're going to be a part of a project. So how do you channel this? Because by the way, Mackenzie, we do get a lot of callers come in and say, you know, either I don't know what to do or I have all this energy and I just don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with my life. And... Mm-hmm. Which kind of amazes me, but that is a reality.
People are afraid to reach. Okay, people, like I had to ask myself, what, you know, when I hit my 50s and I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be alive as long as I already have. Am I going to follow expectation or am I going to follow passion? And then I had to ask myself, well, if I were to follow expectation, I would continue to compete and be an actor and, you know, be so appearance-focused, like how do I look, what am I going to wear, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could look inside and find my passion. What lights my fire? And for me, that's being of service to others and being in community with like-minded others, which is why I went and got a clinical education so that I could work with others in this type of environment where I get to do that now. But people are afraid to reach for what they love, and the thing is that you've got to, like Kierkegaard said, take a leap of faith.
Yeah, believe. I love that. It is the reaching. It is the reaching to follow your passion. So, what led you to now? You work at Breathe, which, by the way, where is that? Life Healing Center? That's in Los Angeles.
We're in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah.
And so your art counseling, tell us a little bit about what you're doing there at Breathe.
Well,
I love that.
Work as a substance use disorder counselor with an amazing clinical team here at Breathe. We are literally mind, body, spirit. We do drum circles. We have kundalini yoga. We do meditations. We do all kinds of beautiful things here. We do psychodrama. We do sensory motor trauma-informed therapy. So, I mean, I work full-time, I'm actually sitting in my office right now, getting ready to go to a group. Well, actually, I just got a text from my colleague who's starting our group with a meditation. So I'm going to go in yesterday we did a meditation on spirit animals, and it was really cool.
Oh,
and it was just
nice.
It's really beautiful what we do here. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Good to know of it, and let our listeners know of it. Wow, that's
absolutely
amazing. Because you're bringing the spiritual aspect in, which is.
There's so many treatment centers talk about we treat mind, body, spirit. Well, we actually treat mind, body, spirit here at Breathe. And anyone out there who's curious can go to our website, BreatheLifeHealingCenters.com.
Centers.com. BreatheLifeHealingCenters.com. We'll put that in the chat.
Correct.
Wonderful. Now, Mackenzie, we've got your talking about your book. What if people want to reach you, or is it better to go through the center? BreatheLifeHealingCenters.com.
You mean like social media?
Yeah, it could be social media. Yeah, social media. People want to connect with it. We had a lot of people that follow you already that were glad that you were on the program or inspired by your journey. So you're touching so many people. Yeah, just give us that. Is it Mac Phillips? Is that the social?
My Twitter is at Mac Phillips, M-A-C-K Phillips. Same with Instagram. And then my Facebook page is Mackenzie Phillips, and you'll know it's me because I have the blue check on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, good. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Tamara. Put it in the chat, BreatheLifeHealingCenters.com. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This has been amazing, and you're amazing, and you're just such a radiant light being. I just love chatting with you. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it myself. I really appreciate it.
Cool. All right. You keep shining.
Thank you. Take good care.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So if you just tuned in, that was Mackenzie Phillips. We were talking about her book, Hopeful Healing, Essays on Managing Recovery and Surviving Addiction. She is also the author of the best-selling, New York best-selling book, High on Arrival. And you can find out more information about her, connect with her at Mac Phillips. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Mackenzie Phillips on Facebook. And she works at BreatheLifeHealingCenters.com. And Tamara's saying, wonderful, she speaks our language. Yes, wasn't that amazing? Oh, my God, that was so amazing. What a great, great love. Very, very amazing energy. And her book, I got it, I don't know when I got it, maybe 3 months ago, 2 months ago, something like that, advanced copy. But really read it, you know, Hopeful Healing, Essays on Managing Recovery and Surviving Addiction. But I like some of the stuff that she was saying, you know, obviously she opens up about her life, but about what helped her through her journey. And I love that she was talking about the spiritual aspect and really integrating that in. And funny, I was going to say high on life, but she is. You get that, and you get that feeling that she really is high on life, kind of. And I love the perspective of what's going on, you know, about bringing it within. All right, lovies, well, we got a little bit of time left, so if you have a question or a comment, you can call back in or press 1 on your keypad that lets me know you have a question or a comment, and we can dive in. Otherwise, I'm going to talk a little bit back on the radical honesty and the Venus retrograde, what's going on with Venus being retrograde. Oh, we got a listener, so let's get to that. And I love her awakening. She's always been a seeker. See, there is a hypothesis in shamanic and spiritual circles and metaphysical that our addictions are trying to get to that high on life connection from spirit, God, the all that is, that energy, the spiritual energy, and that's what one is actually seeking. One is seeking themselves, ultimately. All right, let's see. 360-402, you're on Awakenings. Hello.
Hello, Michelle, it's Victoria. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Do you hear a echo?
Yes, it's because no. You're on speakerphone, so just a moment.
Oh, for you. Okay, I don't hear an echo.
Okay,
right,
is this better?
Hi, Victoria. Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, it's fine for me. I didn't hear it. I was just checking because Mackenzie had said there was an echo, but yeah.
Yes. So I have a question. Is that okay to go ahead and do that now?
Yeah, absolutely. Got a little more time in, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I'm currently working in an office, and it's a great job, although I'm ready for the next step, and I'm wondering what you might see.
Okay. And what do you mean by the next step? You're wanting a different job, is what I'm hearing,
yes.
Right?
Well,
something,
it's different.
Yeah. Okay.
Even everything different.
Everything.
Different.
Career, I feel, right?
Yes.
Not just job,
yes.
But career, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're in a little bit of a battle with your creative self. There's a part of you that wants to do something more creative, more expressive.
Yes. Yes.
And that part is coming out more. I always say, you know, I'm going to quote Mackenzie here, just start. So, and also for Wes that was listening, when we're talking about partnerships, sometimes we're waiting to get other things in alignment or different jobs that we can do what we really want to do or, you know, get settled. But I would start looking. The one thing I hear for you to work with also is archetypes. There's a great book, with archetypes, to work with archetypes. There's a great book called Awakening the Archetypes Within by Carol S. Pearson. And look at the creator. Look at any of the other ones that kind of jump out at you, but I'm hearing the emperor, the one that keeps things going, and also the creator. Because I feel like right now you've been very focused on keeping everything going, keeping the structure in place, keeping your routines in place.
Yes.
And this goes for
yes.
everyone. Sometimes when we're going to our next step, we have to mess up something. We have to change something in our routine. We have to move some things around to create an opening for something new to come in, whether that's insights or what I call the magical helpers, you know, the synchronistic timings. So sometimes you have to move things around. So I feel for you, it's maybe to do some things a little out of the ordinary, change up even the way you go to work or whatever, the way you drive, the way you, whatever, big subway, the boat, the train, the plane, whatever. You change things around a little bit and to let some different energy come in. Because I feel what's happening is you're more psychologically getting ready for your next step. You're like saying, okay, I'm done. I want something else. I want something more. But you also have that time to, you know, when we go into next level, we need to do a little research. I would say we move from seeking to finding to being. But every new level, we have to seek a little bit. And then we have to find something. And sometimes it's an aha. Sometimes it's something we see, you know, or someone says something to us or shows us something. And we go, oh, God, that's it. But for you, I mean, what could you start doing right now more on the creative level? That's what I would ask yourself. What can you start integrating on the creative level? Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. It does.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
That's really your next step is integrating the creative.
Interweaving the creative. I love it.
Yeah. Because that part of you is ready to come out more.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. I love you.
Love you too. Hugs.
Hugs.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling in. Bye-bye. Oh, beautiful. You know, and also that's a bit of the Venus retrograde because Venus, you know, actually rules creativity. It's not just relationships or, you know, money or, you know, it's ourselves as a resource. Victoria, if you're still on the line, all of you actually that are kind of at this point, I really dove into this on my Monday night, this past Monday, whatever, what was that, the 5th or 5th, 6th, Facebook Live. I dived into the soul-centered or esoteric meaning of Venus, which is really about spiritual energy, seeing yourself as spiritual energy, and it takes different shape and form. So a lot of people are being called to say how the question to ask is not who am I, your spirit or spiritual form or spiritual being with a soul. How do you want to use your energy? How and where? That's what's going to show you what's most life enhancing or fulfilling or most joyful. It's the how. It's the how and the where, and then get the, and then with whom, get the support to it. So move out of the how, you know, who am I? That's just going to leave you round and round. But again, Venus rules aesthetics, creativity, art, music, beauty, you know, what's harmonizing. You know, and again, on a soul-centered level, resources. You know, some people say, you know, in the second house, it could earth, the Venusian earth. So, yeah, ask yourself, where and how can I express, or do I want to express my energy, or am I expressing it fully enough? I loved one of my takeaways from Mackenzie today. People are afraid to reach out. And I think that is a biggie, that we need to reach out more. And I talked about it again also in my Venus retrograde and the relationship and new paradigm and consciousness Facebook Live on Monday, where we need to learn, those of you that are empaths need to learn to reach out more to take, and what I mean energetically, take of life, take a gulp, take your place, take your slice of pie, you know, instead of waiting and just giving and, you know, merging, being able more comfortable to separate out, you know. And because when you're reaching out, that is a male energy, that is electrical. But sometimes through life or going through bad experiences or negative experiences or trauma, or we have ageism or bodyism, I'm too light, I'm too dark, I'm too hippie, I'm not hippie enough, I'm dippy, I'm dappy, whatever, you know, we don't, and Tamara's putting reaching out and receiving, yes. Because when you reach out, put your arms out, everybody. When you put your arms out, you're reaching out to receive. And we have to be clear, it's not necessarily receiving from another person. It's about receiving that which we already are from the universe. We're receiving that which is not in form. So I love what she said about reaching out and about following the passion and not getting caught up, being afraid to actually reach out. And I think that was very profound. That was, and I think sometimes we settle for less and maybe cover it up, whether it's, you know, whatever forms of addiction or hiding can, you know, whatever that form is, it's because we're not reaching out to receive. So, Tamara, thank you for another truly great community time together, Michelle, Denise, Gail, and guests. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here and co-creating this wonderful community and connecting. I love it, connecting and sharing. All right, everyone, you guys have a wonderful Wednesday. Have a great rest of your day. Thursday for some of you in other parts of the world. We're all connected. I love this interconnection. All right, everyone, thanks for being here on Awakenings, and as always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.